All right. Do you believe there is a rest into which you do always enter? This is what it says in the Bible. We which have believed do now, always, all the time, enter into rest. Glory be to God. Do you believe that? Have you entered into that rest? Where you've ceased from self, and ceased from your own works, and ceased from sin, and ceased from the world. Have you really entered into that rest? Hallelujah. Now this is what God wants for us, beloved, to enter into this glorious rest. Such a wonderful thing to enter into rest. Amen. And God has said that you should direct all your energies to this. If you're doing other things, if you're rushing hither and thither, doing all sorts of works that are quite dead, they have no life in them, you know they haven't. They're lifeless. You're trying to put life into them. Ever so energetic. Making a big fuss and a pother and a blow about it. You're trying to enthuse others about it. You're trying to make them live, but they're dead and you know they are. You've got to rest. You've got to repent from those dead works. Sit down. And how would you have disposed yourself if I had said, sit down, except all those that want to enter into this rest? That you know you're not in it. Really, deep down inside. You're not in this rest. And you know, perhaps, that you never have been in it. Or perhaps you know that there was a time when you were in it, but you've been lured out of it. Oh, it's so easy to do anything but rest. We're living in an age of restlessness. Everywhere you go, it's restless. There are the wicked about. And the scripture says about the wicked, there is no rest, there's no peace for the wicked. They're like the waves of the sea. They're restless, they're tossed. They haven't got this deep, deep rest about them anywhere. But you see, for God's people, there is a rest. And if you believe yourself to be one of God's people, and you're not in this rest, then, beloved, you should, without any more ado, enter in, and you may. You can rest from your sin, beloved. You can cease from it. The Bible says so. Let us read a bit of it together. Look into the first epistle of Peter with me, and into the fourth chapter, and see what the Bible says. And in this fourth chapter of 1 Peter, verse 1, as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. What a glorious thing to know that you can rest, you can cease from sin. That you haven't got to sin anymore. That you haven't got to know the drive of sin in you. The great upsurging lust that you're trying to quell and keep under. But despite your best efforts and your best prayers and everything that you do, they burn through and you're driven to repeat the same old sin over and over and over again. There's no rest in that. Hallelujah. There's a rest where you can cease from sin, beloved. There is a rest where you can cease from your works. Where you can cease from everything. In the beginning, when God made man, you can read this in that first great chapter of the book of Genesis. You will find immediately, going down into the second chapter, you will find immediately that God rested from his works when he'd made man and said, very good. And because he rested from his works when he had made man, not when man had striven to make himself, not when man had achieved the heights, he had not made himself from the dust, he had not elevated himself from some moral calamity or spiritual wickedness. He'd not done this. When God had made man in his own image, praise God, and only he knows what that is. When he had made man as he wanted him to be, having breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, so that man became a living soul, and not a dead one like he is now, until the grace of God reaches him. And man became a living soul. Then God rested, having breathed pure spirit into him, straight from his own nostrils. He breathed his own breath of life, his own spirit into man. And he was a living soul and there was no sin in him. Amen. And then God said, now I'll rest. And he made a day called the Sabbath day. And Adam and Eve entered into rest immediately. Glory. From that great new creation, from that wonderful power of God, God's handiwork, God's workmanship, they entered immediately into rest, and God sanctified, hallowed, made holy one day a week, wherein man, though he had not to fight against sin, though he had not to root thorns and thistles and evil things out of his plot, yet he should even rest from the good things he did, even the lovely things of tending God's fruit and working in God's garden and God's Eden. God said, now you can even stop all that and rest. They never had to keep out the wild beasts. They never had to drive out the serpents. They never had to fight the dragon. They never had to do things like that. They just tended God's garden. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And he said, even so, even though you've not been sinning for a week, come and rest. Even though you've not been sinning for 6 days, there's a rest from your own works, Adam. There's a rest from your own works, Eve. Come and rest. This is the way God talks. You haven't got rest in your heart, have you? You don't find rest in a holiday. You don't find rest in anything this world has. You don't find rest on a cruise through the Mediterranean. You don't find rest in your favorite author. You don't find rest in your favorite pleasure. You might find recreation where you recreate, so you think, the inner things of you. Changing your mental occupation, you can find some kind of physical relaxation also. But you can't find rest anywhere. You can't find it in sleep, for dreams haunt you, and terrors grip you, and nightmares come upon you. You can't find rest anywhere because you haven't come into the rest of God. God says that we can cease from sin. God says that we can rest from our works. God says we can stop even the good things that we do, preaching on street corners, giving out tracts, selling challenges. We can have a rest from everything of our works, being a minister, being a missionary, being a this and a that. You can have a rest from everything. Hallelujah. You can rest from all your works. Praise God. It's a wonderful rest that God creates. You can have a rest from this deep, deep drive in you that wants to make you keep on repenting. You can have a rest from that. You can have a rest from the drive of the devil that makes you be the kind of person you don't want to be, not really deep down inside. You can have a rest from your cryings. You can have a rest from your tears. You can rest from everything in the rest of God. Amen. Oh, how you can rest. Hallelujah. Your mind can come to rest. Your whole self can come to glorious rest in God. Have you ever entered in? There remaineth, saith the book, written by those who knew. Not just those who were told that they must write what they were told, but those who'd entered into this glorious rest and knew it. You don't find rest in drugs. You don't find rest in anything that a man or a woman can possibly do. You know you can't. There came one, even Jesus Christ himself, into this world. And when he lived his life and died his death and risen from the tomb, a woman turned herself about at the entrance of the dark cavern where he lay. And she sees him through a mist of tears. And she thought he was the gardener. And so he was. He was the second, the last Adam. The first Adam had been God's gardener. And now blessed Jesus had come down into this world and he'd taken on the curse that God had to curse the ground, even his fair Eden with that curse. He said, thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. And he'd worn the thorns on his mind, on his brain, on his head. He'd worn them there, this King of Glory. He hung on that cross. He laid in that grave. He'd done the work that his Father gave him to do when he came into this earth. And now he was resting from his labors. His works were finished. It's all over, this great work of salvation. This work of uttermost redemption has done. The life that man lived in the flesh, Jesus Christ, that life that never once had to repent for sin, that life that never, never once had to go and mourn before God for its failures, that life that had been buffeted and blasted and mocked and gibbeted, that life that had been nailed on that cross, that life of perfection had been laid down in the eternal atonement of God for the sin of mankind. And he laid in the tomb to deal with that old serpent, the devil. He laid there and he'd gone down to release the glorious his terrified captives. Amen. And he'd risen gloriously. And she sees him and he's all at rest. He's all at rest. And he says, you can have my rest. I'll give you my life. You won't rest till you get the life of Jesus Christ. Keep your life and you'll be tormented whilst you're on this earth, to say nothing of that which follows. Keep your own life and you'll keep your unrest. Keep your works, good or bad. It'll make no difference. But let all go. Let even your efforts at trying to be good go. Realize you're nothing and worthless. And realize that you can make no contribution to your own salvation. Realize that your best prayers have no effect in this realm. Realize that God loves you. Realize that he will put his great life within yourself. That deep, deep down in the deeps of you, where all your sin spontaneously springs from, where all your efforts to ameliorate your conscience and try to make some rectification for the wrong you know you've done, or the attitudes that you've taken up to people, or the conditions you've created. Realize that deep down in there, Jesus can come by his Spirit to take up your faculties, for he made us, to take up your very inward self and live his life there, the life of the one who's dealt with sin, even your sin, the life of the one who has redeemed the human nature the only one who ever has, and redeemed it not for himself, but for you, that you should enter into a life that is a life from heaven itself, entering into complete rest. Everything inside coming to a glorious end. Everything that has to do with you, everything that you're responsible for, everything that circumstances are responsible for, everything that your heredity is responsible for, going back through your father and mother and great, great, greats and greats and all beyond it. Hallelujah! This is why Jesus Christ entered into our humanity. This is why he didn't manufacture a religion, but came down here and lived the life, so that he might give you this exact life, precisely as he lived it, and that you might know this wonderful rest from sin, rest from yourself, rest from your efforts, rest from all that unrest, those great inward churnings that go on inside. They're in us all. Nobody can stop them. Nobody. Nobody. Not until Jesus Christ comes in. Not until he lives as the central person in my being. Not until he floods me with his own spirit. Not until he takes over my person and reproduces his own personality within it and through it. Not until, praise God, he hasn't just come to break a few bondages or many bondages. He hasn't come just to take away some burdens from you. He hasn't come just to forgive you some sins. He hasn't come for any other reason, beloved, though these things will surely take place in your life. He has come to impart himself to you and live in you. And if you will allow him, he will come and take you over completely. Absolutely. He will come and live in you. He will change your being. He will alter your personality. He will refine you utterly. He will bring you into the place where he can think his thoughts in you, where he can work his works in and through you, where he will speak in you. This is the wonder of it. This Christianity of ours is not a religion, it's a new life imparted. It is the life of God. It's full of rest. So that a man in complete rest can then go out and Jesus' works will be worked through him. Jesus' words will be spoken through him. And oh, beloved, the rest that this is completely incomparable. There is nothing like it in this whole universe, the rest of God. Now, God would have given his people rest of old time. He said it. We'll read it in the Hebrews letter. For he was speaking to the Hebrew nation, and he was moving in the Hebrew nation exclusively at the time when he wanted to give rest to people on this earth. So he speaks to the Hebrews. And in this letter to the Hebrews, in I suppose we'd better read in the third chapter. In the third chapter, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, now listen, beloved, this is not as a man saith. It is not just even as the book says, though it does say, but God is speaking and he's bringing it into the present, as the Holy Ghost is now saying. God is speaking. God is concerned for you. God knows you can't live like you're living. It's death. It isn't living. As the Holy Ghost saith today, glory be to God. He's saying it now. Listen to him, if you will. Will you? Come on, tell him yes or no. Will you listen to the Holy Ghost? Or won't you? Tell him, God has spoken to us tonight saying, if you'll only be honest. Have we gathered a company of dishonest people here this weekend? Or have we gathered a company of people here, surely, by God's grace and under God it must be, that God has gathered us here because he wants to speak to us by his Spirit? Surely then we've come to listen, haven't we? Listen to him then, if you will. God will search you out to the depths of your will. God will reach to the fundament of you. He'll reach to the elements of your makeup. He'll go down to the eternal things of God. For God hath will, and he's molded and made you after himself. Though sin hath come and marred the image of God, it hasn't quite defaced it. You can't make a man of anything else than will and desire and reason and affection and imagination. You can't make a man of anything else than that. And God has made you of that. Basically, will. If you will hear his voice, tell him whether you will or whether you won't. For God is in earnest. I point you to that cross of Calvary. I point you to the eternal symbol of the love of God and to him that hung upon it, now glorified, able by his Spirit to pour forth all the good and the virtue and the power and the grace and the fullness of that which he did on that cross those years ago. He's able to do it, beloved. He's able to do it. And because he's able to do it, you're able to receive it. He's made you able to receive it. He's made you a man after his own image. You were molded after Jesus Christ. You were molded after him so that he could come into the mold. He made you able. And if you won't have him, you must have the devil. And you must be the devil's agents on the earth. Or else God's. One of the two. There is no middle ground. If you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. See the great memory of God. Hear the heartache of Him when God was poised to bring an entire nation into rest, a whole generation of men and women. He was poised to bring them into rest, and they hardened their hearts. And beloved, your will lies in your heart. And if you harden your heart, you've got a hardened will. Your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do alway err in their hearts. They have not known my ways. So I swear. Listen to this heart of grief speaking. So I swear, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren. Take heed, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, in departing from the living God. Supposing I said now, come on, beloved, I'm talking to you, let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Supposing I said now, stand up every one of you who intends to tempt God. That's what these people did. They tempted God. What was the temptation wherewith God was tempted? The temptation to God was to quit. The temptation to God was to say, what's the use of continuing with this person? What's the use of keeping on with this person and these people? What's the use of it? Do you want to tempt God to take His hand off your life? To cease His drawings? Do you want God to quit with you? Winston Churchill wasn't noted for his Christianity. Most times I heard the man speak, he was three parts drunk. I heard him. That dates me, doesn't it? But I heard him during the war. I heard him speak when his voice was slurred with the alcohol in him. It was a job sometimes to distinguish his words. But he said this when the war was over, and I have no doubt that he was raised up to lead this nation at that time. That's not what I'm commenting on. I have no doubt about it in my heart, none at all. But in peace, one day I heard him when the war was just over, and he was talking about all sorts of things about what the future would be, and I heard him say this, gentlemen, what if God should tire of us? Come on, some of you men and women, you must have heard him say that too. If you listen to his speeches, what if God should tire of us, he said. I say, I don't quote him as a Christian. I don't quote him as a saint. But here was a man. Here was a man who knew. He said, what if God should tire of us? At least he was God-fearing. At least he was God-fearing. And what if God should tire of you? Thank God. He's not weary. young men may faint, but God doesn't faint or tire. Hallelujah. But do you want to tempt him? They tempted him by hardening their hearts. They hardened their hearts against God. Inside them they had an evil heart of unbelief. They wouldn't believe God. And so with grief, he had in the end to swear that such people should not enter into his rest. But nevertheless, though verse 19, we see they could not enter into that rest because of unbelief. Beloved, there remaineth a rest, verse 9 of chapter 4. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. And listen, it doesn't matter whether your mother or father entered into this rest or whether they didn't. It does matter in one sense now, but at the moment it need not concern you. You're an individual facing God. It doesn't matter whether your friend sitting beside you is at rest. You know whether she is or not. She knows whether you are or not. He knows whether you're in. She knows whether you're in or out. Husband, wife, friend, child. They know whether you're in rest or not. Doesn't matter whether they're in rest or not. Beloved, I talk to you as an individual. If you will hear what the Holy Spirit says, there remains a rest for the people of God. You'll soon know whether that person is a person of God or not. If you will hear his voice, don't you harden your heart. Don't cling to your ill-conceived notions about this or that, getting off into long prayers or doing something or another, or getting yourself piled up with labor upon labor and upon labor. Nay, beloved, stop and listen to the voice of God and let your Maker, who knows thee through and through and made thee for rest as he made our first parents to enter into rest, let him charm you away from everything else. Let your heart be caught by this word of God. You can rest. You haven't got to do this or got to do that. You haven't got to go there or got to go here. But you must enter into rest. You must. You know if you don't, it'll be the death of you. You know if you don't, it will kill you. You know if you don't, you'll never stop your mind on its unremitting round, racing and racing, thinking of this, pouncing onto that. Somewhere else it's going. It's taken up with this lust. It's taken up. Say, lust. Yes, there's a lust for work in many people's hearts and minds. There's a lust for souls, too, that's on people's minds and hearts. It's so high-sounding. It's so, Nay, beloved, if you don't let it all go, come out from under the burden. Come out from it all. Your heart's got hardened, callous, it's unbelieving. You don't believe what God says. He says you're to labor to enter into this rest. You're not to do the other things. Stop it. You're to come to this rest. Hallelujah. to come to this rest. Oh, this rest of God. When God brought my heart to rest, when he brought my mind to find its rest in him, when he brought my whole soul to quietness, when he brought me to that glory of uncreated life, when he took me into that glorious garden of God that this risen garden attends. When he's the gardener that tends to the fruit, when he's the one that sees to his paradise, when my glorious Adam is doing all the work and I'm doing nothing, and I'm nothing, and can be nothing, and know that perfection is into nothing fall. Thou, O Christ, be all in all. Then do the rivers flow like the four rivers of Eden. Then doth the gold appear, and the gold of that land is good. Then doth everything spring to life. Then does everything take its glorious place. Then that which is natural is made subservient to that which is spiritual. Then it ceases to be carnal and selfish and sinful. Then it obeys God. Then it joyfully walks in the ways of the Lord. Then it belongs to the generation, even the whole generation of Jesus Christ, that liveth and moveth and walketh with God. Then, but not till then can it happen, not till then can it take place. Rest will be something you always seek and never have, and your unrest will build up on you, and it'll crush you, and the burden of the years will bring you to nothing, the wrong kind of nothingness, and there will be no hope in your latter end, save only this, that it may be just now, even yet, that it's not too late. You're to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, for the Spirit talketh to Spirit. Your unrest is in your spirit. Your unrest is in your soul. Your unrest, therefore, is in all your life. And Jesus said, come to me, and I'll give you rest. What does your heart say? Lord, I believe a rest remains. To all thy people know, a rest where pure enjoyment reigns. And thou art loved alone, a rest where all the soul's desire is fixed on God alone, where fear and sin and grief expire, cast out by perfect love. God loves you too much to let you continue as you've been going on. He can't have you a slave to sin. He can't have you a slave to bodily habits. He can't have you a slave of this age. He can't let you go on like that. He can't.
And he's interposed Jesus on that cross between you and this hell armor, this foretaste of that from which there's no coming back when once the portals have been crossed. And he offers you peace and uttermost rest. He offers you complete forgiveness. He offers you an utter ceasing from this slavery of sin, this shame that creeps up on you. He offers you rest from it, beloved. Rest. He offers you rest from all your works. Glory, glory. So that you know you haven't got to do anything under the drive of a body of men, or the body of sin, or under the opinion and pressure of the enemy, but that you can rest sublimely in God. Are you there? Come on, beloved. Jesus loves you. If he can't share his life with you, why is he alive? He might as well have remained dead, so far as you're concerned. But he's alive. And if you'll open your heart, and if you'll listen today, while it's being said, you can have what a generation of old reached after and failed to have. You can have what many, many, many people, because they will retain their hard heart, they will remain in self-opinion, they will remain in unbelief, cannot have. Yours is the privilege to leave all now. Yours is the privilege, while the call comes out, leave your opinions, leave the things you've got to do, leave the things you've got to think, or you think you've got to think, leave the prayers you think you've got to make, or make up. Leave them, friend, leave them, all the best things in life, all the good things of your life outside of Christ spring from the root of sin. All of them. There is a great new rest where everything springs from the eternal God within you. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Is your life like that? If it's not, and you know it's not, whatever your former claims have been, if it once was and now you've lost it, if something else has come in, oh, beloved, let it all go. Leave everything else. Come to this rest. Come to this rest. You who are being terrorized by Satan, you who are being frightened about tomorrow, I just don't mean Monday, but that great tomorrow that lies ahead. You who are afraid and, oh, beloved, come and rest. Return to your rest. Like a dove returns to the shoulder of its Lord. Hallelujah. Coming down and resting on Him. Hallelujah. Come on, come back, beloved. Come right from the depths of you. Let your fears, let your torments, let them all go. In the name of Jesus, now the devil's power can be broken over your mind. The grip of hell can go from you. This unrest, it fills your tongue, it fills your mind, it can go. You can sleep and rest. And you can know that this rest stretches right out all ahead of you. Amen. Oh, what a life. Oh, what an eternity. Oh, what a Jesus. Glory. You're going to live Jesus on this earth. Because Jesus is going to live you. He's going to make your powers function. He's going to take the seed and ill and law of sin out of you, out of the inward parts that you can't reach. He's going to take these vain strivings after high things away. It's too high, you can't reach under it. Stop it. He'll bring it all into you if you stop struggling. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I find it all in here. I don't find it up there. I don't find it in here. I find it in here. Glory, glory. And I know the rest remains, for it remains in me. Hallelujah. Come on. Are you at rest? Do you want to make an end of sin in your life? Do you want those self-habits to go? Do you want to know that your heart's all pure within? Do you? Do you want to be able to lift up your eyes and look upon your Jesus with an unclouded face? Do you want your whole self to rest back in God, deep and high and wide and great and profound and inexpressible? Do you want to know that? Come on then, beloved. Let's pray. Not the high-sounding strivings of the mind, but it nevertheless requireth action, that you from the deeps of you, if you will hear his voice, you can shut it out by your will now. Shut it out. Do one thing or the other. Oh, you can open yourself and he'll call down the channel of your surrendered will. And he'll speak everything down into your heart. And he'll bring everything to rest. Come on, maiden, and come on, mother. Come on, man, and come on, youth. Open your heart and believe him. Come out of your restrained believings. You're straightened in your own bowels. But Jesus will make you great. And you can come. If you know you ought to come, you come and kneel here. Here's a man that's kneeling. Come and kneel beside him. Come and seek God if you know you must. You must come to rest.